Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you making this podcast part of your day. Make sure you subscribe if you want more and leave us some feedback. Away we go.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News, the authority on the Pac-12, joining us now. John Wilner, let me ask you something. When you started out in journalism, did you say, you know what, I'm going to be the Pac-12 guy one day? Or did that just happen and you look around and go, well, I guess it happened. I'm going to go with it.
It just kind of happened. It's very fulfilling in that I just find the Pac-12 fascinating, right? The stuff on the field and on the court is interesting, but the stuff off the field and off the court is more interesting, right? And some of that has to do with the dynamics out here are different, right? Because there's that constant push-pull between the academic and athletic sides that I don't think you necessarily find in other conferences. There's just the whole fan affinity component is constantly tugging. It's just different, and there's a lot of stuff off the field that I find just kind of fascinating.
Pac-12 is hired a search firm. What do you know about the search for the next commissioner?
Well, they hired Turnkey, which I think is a smart move. Turnkey just did the ACC search, which worked out very well. The ACC hired a sitting athletic director, Jim Phillips from Northwestern, who was arguably the most respected AD in the country. And I think it's potentially very relevant for the Pac-12, right? The ACC hires a sitting athletic director, and then the Pac-12 turns around and hires the same search firm. Which may be, and I'm guessing, but that may give us a little bit of insight into the way the presidents are thinking, that they are looking for more of a traditional hire, right? If they were dead set on getting somebody from the sports media industry, maybe they would have gone with a firm that has, a little bit of a different track record.
John Wilner with us, San Jose Mercury News. In your hotline newsletter, you raised the idea of Jennifer Cohen, the athletic director at Washington, being a candidate. How viable is she? Would she leave that job? She's talked about it being her dream job. Why do you like her as a commissioner?
Yeah, I don't know if she's going to be interested or not, right? That was a question from a reader, and I felt like it was important to address because her name has come up a bunch, and it also kind of provides an avenue to discuss the broader issue of whether the Pac-12 would hire a current athletic director from within the conference, right? The Big Ten did not do that. Jim Phillips from Northwestern is sitting right there, and the Big Ten didn't hire him. Meanwhile, the ACC did as soon as it had a vacancy. So whether the Pac-12 presidents decide they would be interested in hiring a current conference AD, I think is something that is worth exploring. Cohen's name came up in the question from the reader, and are the presidents interested in her or in anybody from the conference, and would she be interested in taking the job? Right, we don't know where they're going to put the conference office. I don't necessarily know that Seattle is the best place. So for her, for anybody, there's that personal issue of whether you're willing to move.
Kirk Schultz, the president at Washington State, came on the show on Monday. I started to ask him about the timeline for the search. Can they wait till summer to make a hire? Here's what Schultz said.
Oh, no. Hire this semester. We need to move. Most of the search firms that we're going to be talking to that fans would be aware of are the same ones that are used out there nationally for lots of things. And they'll tell you, hey, we can do the search in 30 days if you guys want it that fast. And we want to take our time at the beginning to make sure that we have a good sense of what people feel we need. There's one thing to go out and, you know, ask for talent. But if you do your work at the front end and say, okay, what is the talent that we really need to take the next step? That's where we got to take our time. So the actual vetting candidates and all that, that'll go fairly quickly.
There's Kirk Schultz, President, Washington State. What do you hear there?
Well, two things. First of all, I think it's great that he and the other members of the executive committee seem to be fairly transparent, at least so far, right? I don't expect that they're going to start telling us who the actual candidates are, but at least they're being transparent up front. And he's done a few interviews and has been able to, discuss with their plans in a way that I think has helped illuminate the issue, right? They're right. They need to figure out their model, figure out what they need and what the basic model is, and then it'll be easy to find candidates, right? They'll have plenty of candidates once they figure out what it is they're really looking for. Like, it's kind of, if you're buying a car, I said, do we want an SUV? Do we want a sports car? Blah, blah, blah. Once you make that decision, it's easier to target.
Am I out in left field and looking at, all right, they hired a firm today. He mentioned 30 days. 30 days from now puts them, very early in March, some vetting of candidates. You've got the Pac-12 men's tournament happening that weekend of March the 12th or so. Am I out in left field thinking that we could get a mid-March hire on this commissioner front if all goes fairly smoothly?
Boy, I don't know if I'm in left field with you, but I am probably in short left. I think that if not by the Pac-12 tournament, then by the end of March, they may have it. I mean, the person is going to need time to, wind down from the current job. And then, I don't know what the moving situation is going to be these days with the pandemic, right? I mean, it's not like you're going to necessarily be sitting in an office somewhere on July 1st. It can be done from home to a large extent. But no, I think you're right. I think that they will, March, certainly by the middle of April, I think it'll be done.
You've got Oregon State with a big announcement yesterday, and I think there's a couple things to talk about here. They're going to redo the west side of the stadium. They're going to downsize, come down to the mid to high 30,000 range. It'll probably feel a lot like Washington State's attendance. But F. King Alexander, the president at Oregon State, came on this show. I asked him a question that you have taken a deep dive on, sort of the idea at Washington State where they're asking for some subsidy for athletics, getting some pushback. F. King Alexander, I asked him, how does a new stadium fit with student recruitment? Here's what he said.
Well, it fits in so many different ways. People just think it's just about the football program, but it's about student recruitment, both in-state and out-of-state. It's about playing the sports on a large scale on a national front. So it helps with our recruitment. It helps with our retention of our students. It creates a vital part of student life that our students expect from a big-time university and a Research One public university like ours.
What are you hearing there, and how does it fit with what's going on at Washington State?
Yeah, well, I saw his response yesterday as well, right, during the news conference, and I thought that it was the best explanation of why investing in athletic facilities matters to the broader campus that I have ever heard, and I'm actually going to be publishing something on that in my newsletter here in the next half hour. So I am totally with you on the significance of what he said and the way he was able to express it, in terms that you can grasp the connection, right? It's not just this esoteric presidential talk. Washington State, similar thing, smaller scale. The central campus wants to funnel $2-3 million a year to athletics to help them cover some expenses. And the faculty is outraged and claims that there is no connection between success and the university's profile. And I think that's wrong. And there's a lot of evidence, anecdotal and academic evidence, in the form of several studies, statistical studies, that show there is a connection between winning and the profile of your school, the number of applications you get for admissions, the SAT scores of the applicants, the alumni donations. I mean, it is there's tons of evidence, right? Oregon experienced that, right? There's a Washington Post story that quotes an Oregon vice president saying that the run to the BCS title game in the 2010 season helped elevate Oregon's profile nationally, right? There's tons of examples, and it seems to me like Alexander gets that it's just one it's a giant ecosystem on the university campus in which athletics is playing a major role, and the success has collateral benefits for everyone else.
Even Oregon State, under Dennis Erickson, 99-2000, the enrollment was double about 4 years later. And it wasn't because the biology department was winning big. It was the only difference was football. Like, they had an immediate spike in applications after they beat Notre Dame in the Fiesta Bowl. And it was pointed to by Bob DeCarolis and others on campus then as, you know, look what football did for the rest of the university. John Wilner's with us. San Jose Mercury News. What's going to happen to the Pac-12 networks?
Flip a coin, and then however it comes down, throw it against the wall with some pasta and just, I don't know. I mean, my guess is that they'll take that stuff, they'll take that content and, you know, just basically fold it up and sell it off for the best price they can get along with everything else. What do you think? I mean, there's the fact that there's no easy answer tells you what a mess it is, right?
Yeah, and I keep looking at programs like women's basketball in the conference. They have benefited from being on that network, and I have to think some of the coaches are not totally on board with disbanding that network because they have used it to recruit. But I think it's a loser. They're not a media company. You know, it's like, you know, me trying to run a marathon. You know, I could probably do it. It's not going to be pretty. I might not be able to walk for a week after. It's like, you know, you got to stay in your lane.
I bet DirecTV would show it, though.
The ultimate irony
would
be...
They would show you, Brennan.
Yeah, no, I don't know if they would do that. I don't know if they would... you know, that would be the ultimate irony would be, let's just say they want to sell it and DirecTV takes it from whoever they sell it to, you know, and puts it on everywhere.
Yes.
Just,
oh, I know. Well, and it's going to be interesting, too, because... You know, just the satellite, the situation with the satellite carriers and the situation with streaming, you know, everything is kind of headed towards this giant collision about when they're going to do their rights. And we don't know yet if the streaming's going to be good enough to make a giant bet on that as an avenue or vehicle for delivery, right? I mean, there's still the NFL had a game a few weeks ago, right? Late in the regular season, and there were problems. Streaming is not at the point where they can make a gigantic bet on it. And we'll see if there's enough progress on the technology front in the next, you know, 18 months for them to be in position to do that.
I'm really curious about the women's Pac-12 tournament and the men's tournament. What is your hunch on who hands the trophy to the winning coach? Will Larry Scott, the outgoing commissioner, show up in Vegas to hand the trophy off, or will it be a deputy or someone else?
I would bet it's going to be, I mean, assuming that there is a tournament on both fronts, I think it's, you know, they're planning on it, but that it's not a given at this point. But let's assume that there are men's and women's tournaments. I would imagine it's the commissioner. I think he's gonna he'll want to do that just for the optics, right? I mean, if he's not there presenting, then that's gonna tell everybody he's completely checked out. And I don't think that would be good for anybody, frankly.
There was a Pac-12 basketball game last night with Washington State and Oregon that, yeah, you know, people who watched it left saying that was one of the most poorly officiated games that I've seen, and officiating continues to be a problem. How high on the new commissioner's list should fixing officiating be?
Well, fixing football officiating, let's see. I mean, the thing is, there's so many things to do, right? But some of those things can be accomplished quicker than others. Officiating could probably be, you could probably make some progress on that front quicker than you can figure out what's going to happen to the Pac-12 networks, which is going to involve those media negotiations. They got to do something about it, right? But we've been saying that when he took over. And look what happened. It's no better. In fact, you could argue it's worse because they had the two biggest scandals in the conference's history in the last 6 years on his watch. You know, the Ed Rush thing with Sean Miller, and then the dumpster fire with the instant replay. It's hard, but they have got to hire. They have an experienced person running basketball, and basketball officiating has gotten a lot harder, I think, with the rule changes to a much greater degree than football officiating has gotten harder. Football has got to be on the short list of priorities.
John Wilner with us, San Jose Mercury News. A lot of good people working in conference headquarters, deputies, assistants, marketing people, some PR people that I don't care for, but they're still working there. What's going to happen? Will they clean house? Will it be a slow transition? What's your sense on, does a new commissioner mean an entirely new crew, or do they keep deputies in place and supervisors in place?
I would imagine that it ends up being a little bit of a combination. I think that there will be some changes, but I also think some of the people currently there will stay and should stay. The thing that the conference office has missed more than anything else is a lot of people with experience working on campuses. And that Larry Scott didn't have it. His chief football guy for all those years didn't have it, and that was a huge problem. And I think that it has generally led to a lot of frustration and even some conflict with the campuses. The conference office's job is to work for the schools. Too often, we have seen instances where it seems like the schools are supposed to be working for the conference office, and that's got to change. It has to change. That might be number one. Most important thing is this conference office has got to better serve the campuses. And I think that you do that with people who have experience on the campuses. And they've got some folks like that in the conference office now. They don't have enough of them, and that needs to change. But I think that there's a few people that should stay.
Does that mean that your new commissioner, do you believe, will have athletic director experience on the resume?
You know, I have been thinking about this whole thing, and I'm sure you have too, since the night of Larry Scott, they announced that Scott wasn't coming back. And I have kind of swung back and forth a little bit based on, you know, my own observations, but also talking to people. And I have now come to the point where I think that a sitting athletic director, now I don't know if it's in somebody in the conference or outside of the conference, best fits what they need. I think that that's what they need. You know, they've got to have somebody who understands campus life. They have to. And it's going to be hard to find that, I think, if it's not an athletic director.
I think people do it in their own relationships. They swing from one side of the pendulum to the other. Like, you know, you have a friend who, you know, has maybe she's dated a guy who owns a motorcycle and a leather jacket. And then she swings over to dating a guy who's got an accounting degree. And, you know, you see her go, I've done that. I think the Pac-12 is going to do that. They've done the executive CEO Fortune 500 guy, Larry Scott. I think you're right. I think they come back in our next person in that seat might wear jeans and have experience on campus as an AD.
Yeah, I think so. And Larry Scott was, in a lot of ways, the opposite of what they had before, Tom Hansen. And it was very different person than Tom Hansen. And he was given a very different charge than Tom Hansen had. At the time, the presidents felt like the place needed to become more of a big business. And so they hired somebody from the professional sports world to do it. And Larry Scott was, I've written this and I still think he was the right hire for the time. Right. I don't think he's the right commissioner to lead the conference now, but he was the right kind of hire then. And the right kind of hire now is someone with deep roots, not only on a campus, but somebody who really understands NCAA issues. I mean, you look at the transfer situation, you look at name, image, likeness, and there's so much upheaval coming in college sports. Somebody has got to understand NCAA legislation.
John Wilner, I got like 30 seconds. Rob Mullins at Oregon, is he on a list that you'd want to interview him?
You want to interview him, and I think Rob Mullins is incredibly well qualified. However, you know, the problem with internal candidates, meaning within the Pac-12 right now, is the politics. And how are the other 11 schools going to look at Oregon's guy, Nike guy, basically? Yep. Not that Rob is personally connected to Nike, but Oregon is Nike taking over the conference. I just don't know how that's going to fly on the other campuses.
I think you're right, and I think it being Oregon in particular could be a problem. Wilner, I appreciate you, my friend.
Plus, his boss is running the show right now, Mike Schill, so that's another issue.
Problematic. Wilner, have a great weekend.
You too, my man. Thanks.
All right, there's John Wilner, Bay Area News Group. Leave it here. Our Big Splash next. Coming up, top of the hour, Jeff Schwartz will be joining us, former NFL offensive lineman, former Oregon Duck offensive lineman. He'll be with us to talk Super Bowl, ask for his prediction. He loves the Chiefs. His brother traditionally would be in the lineup, out with an injury for this game, but would traditionally be in the lineup for this game. We'll talk to Schwartz about what he's looking at during the Super Bowl. What I'm looking at, it's our Big Splash.
This is
the one thing you absolutely need to know today.
Look at it. Where? Down there. Must be
the Big Splash. Brought to you by the Exergen Twice Daily Thermometer.
Super Bowl on Sunday, 3:30 kickoff. Chiefs at the Buccaneers. Literally, at the Buccaneers. Chiefs right now are a 3-point favorite on the Oregon Lottery scoreboard app. Your over-under is sitting at a cool 56. If you want to wager it that way, Judah Newby, if you had to parlay Chiefs -3 and the over-under at 56, what are you doing?
I like Chiefs and under.
You like the Chiefs and the under?
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes may have something to say about that over-under.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.